Hey everyone, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is Luke chapter 7. This is going to be Luke chapter 7. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples sent, and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers sit still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, 'Go, and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children, sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus, answering, said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." All right. In verse 36, we read an account where a Pharisee asks to eat with Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees generally get a bad rap, and it makes sense why, but here's a Pharisee, a revered teacher of the law, who wants to eat with Jesus and invites him over to his home. As they're eating together, we read in verse 37 that a woman enters the Pharisee's house with an alabaster flask of ointment. Now, we're not told very much about this woman. We don't know her name, where she's come from, how she even heard Jesus was there, and how she got into the house at all. But what we do know is that she's described as a woman of the city and a sinner. In case you don't understand what that means, Luke, the author, is using a euphemism to say that this woman was a prostitute, a blatantly sexually immoral person. So based on everything I've said so far, just in these first two verses, the scene here is already pretty shocking. Jesus is eating with a Pharisee. And then a random woman, likely a prostitute, enters into the house of this Pharisee, which is pretty wild already. But what comes next is even more shocking. We read that the woman stands behind Jesus, near where his feet are at, and then begins to weep. Those tears fall on Jesus' feet, and then she begins to wipe those tears with her hair. Then it says she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment she had brought in that alabaster jar. I know sometimes when we read things in the Bible that are foreign to us, it's easy to just chalk it up to differences in times or culture. But let me be clear. This isn't one of those times. This is a genuinely weird, or I would even say shocking, scene for everyone. So what is happening here? Well, Jesus explains it to everyone in the room and to us, the reader, through a quick parable about two debtors. One of the debtors owed 500 denarii, and the other owed 50. And when neither of them could repay the debt, Jesus tells us that the moneylender canceled the debts. Jesus then asks the room, which of these debtors will love the moneylender more? The answer is obviously the one who had the larger debt, as the Pharisee correctly states. Now, what does this have to do with the woman? Well, Jesus essentially explains that the woman is like the debtor who owed the greater debt, the 500 denarii. The woman is known to us and to most people in Jesus' day as a sinner. She has lived a blatantly sexually immoral life and is therefore labeled, maybe even by some, condemned as a sinner. And the thing is, it's true. She is a sinner. She has done these things and has lived a lifestyle that is very clearly against the will of God. However, the big twist here is that despite all of that, she has come to know that there is forgiveness through Jesus. According to the parable, she is this great debtor, someone who owed the 500 denarii, this great debt. Yet, she has come to know and believe that her debt has been forgiven and that she is now debt-free. And it was with this understanding that she responded with what we see as radical and heartfelt worship. That's what the weeping and the wiping of Jesus' feet was. It was heartfelt worship. How does this relate to us? Well, the reality is that we are all this woman, in that we are all sinners. You may not think that you're as quote-unquote bad as this woman or other bad people, but as Paul writes in Romans 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all men and women who have sinned against God, and the wages of that sin is death. But, to continue quoting Romans, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even in our state of sin, God loved us, sent Jesus to die for us, and all who receive him are forgiven. That debt is wiped clean. This is a reality that each of us must remember and hold on to, not so that we can feel bad or guilty about what we've done, but to remember that this is the life that we have in Jesus. And like the woman in the passage, the more we realize this, the more we realize that our immense debt of sin has been forgiven, the more we'll readily receive God's forgiveness, and the more we'll come to love Jesus and experience the fullness of life and joy that is found only in him. While on the flip side, the less we know this to be true, the less we receive and rely on the grace and forgiveness of God and instead live in a state of self-righteousness and self-reliance, well, then the less we'll turn to Jesus. The more hardened our hearts will become, and we'll move further and further away from his love and joy and the fullness of life that's found in him. This, by the way, is also how we combat judgment. Jesus told this parable after he came to realize that the Pharisee was casting judgment upon this woman. If you found yourself judging others, maybe looking down on other people, even condemning them in your heart for what they may have done, well, let's remember that we are all sinners in need of grace. None is righteous, not even one, as the scripture says. We are all in need of saving from Jesus. And so instead of judging, let's receive his grace and forgiveness today so that we may experience a fullness of life that is only found in Jesus. So again today, let's receive his grace. Let's remember it and turn to him and receive from him today and live in that freedom. Let me pray for us to wrap up. Jesus, we thank you for the life that's found in you. Thank you for forgiving our sins. We ask that we would continue to respond to this reality by praising you, by worshiping you, by loving you in return. Help us, Lord, to never, never think that we don't need grace, that we're okay, but instead just remind us again and again and again how great our sin was, and yet the fact that you set us free from this sin. So, Father, we thank you for this truth. I pray that it would shape us today and each day of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.